Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
Doing great, John. It's good to be here, good to be anywhere. Monday edition of the show. How are you?
Yeah, ready to start the week off, ready to start the month off.
Yes, yes, June 1 today.
I know. Kind of wild.
Yeah. And this is just the first one. We got 29 more after this.
And then we'll be halfway through the year.
Yeah. Well, June 15th, right? Is that, put us halfway through the year? Or, no, I guess 6 months need to pass. 6 entire months need to pass, right? Yeah. So at the end of June, it's halfway. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, for some reason, I always thought June 15th in my head. I just realized that was wrong.
Cam, can I have an extra point for trivia? Just feel like that's needed after that exercise. Either way, hope you had a good weekend as we get ready to kick off the week, kick off the month. I got to be honest, I had dreams last night about football. The Titans had moved to go to 5-2.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they beat Tampa Bay. I don't know if I don't think they played Tampa Bay this year. They played Tampa Bay last year around like week 7, I guess. So like maybe I was just they weren't moving to 5-2, but I had a dream we beat the Bucks
to go to 5-2.
To go to 5-2. But the season had already like started and stopped and then like it was restarting and it was like the week 1 of restarting. When we played Tampa, so like I mean, you know, wasn't exactly accurate or anything, but I was dreaming about football, Titans football,
it
but football
restarted. Like, was the season postponed for something?
Yeah,
pandemic.
Yeah,
probably.
I guess
probably had something to do with that.
But either way, the Titans had started the season and had moved to 5-2.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad start.
I'd be happy with 5-2.
Take 5-2, first 7 games, yeah,
for sure. But I had a dream. About football. I am ready for football.
That's good. I think we all are. I think we're all excited about it.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Just got to get through the summer first, though.
Yeah, and this is going to be a hard summer to get through at this rate. It's going to be the next 5 months, really, I think is going to be pretty wild. But
it's been a crazy year.
When you look at just the COVID stuff, right? I mean, if you saw the demonstrations across the country – this weekend, large groups of people getting together.
All the cities.
Yes. I am interested to see what happens with the virus after that. Is the virus going to be a real thing?
I think it's
at this
gone
point,
now.
Or is the heat and the craze and the worry all gone and we're clear to go? Because I feel like if you don't have any big spikes, then be like, you know what, this is a pretty good opportunity to show
maybe
that being in big crowds isn't that bad of a thing.
Maybe this was a good test run for sports in the fall.
I didn't want to make it that. But
don't want to put it that way. But
it did cross my mind. It crossed a lot of people's minds, I think, whenever they saw how many people were getting together. You know, because we have been still social distancing. And then over the weekend, we, for the most part, threw a lot of that to the side. A lot of people did.
30,000 people in a crowd here, Manhattan. Let's jot this down. Perhaps we could get a game in the Garden later this year.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when you think about it in those terms. I did find the news coverage very interesting over the weekend. I saw the space rocket launch.
I missed the space rocket launch.
I guess it was Saturday. Elon Musk.
I think I was driving to get food when it happened.
Yeah. Did you feel it?
Did I feel it?
Did you feel like the tremors on the ground? I could feel the ground shake myself.
No, you couldn't.
When it took off.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, those things take off with a lot of power.
I mean, I would imagine that the rocket ship blasting into space has a lot of power.
And it wasn't that far away when you think about it geographically.
I don't think you felt the ground shake.
Could have just been something else. Maybe I just got off balance a little bit or something. That might have been what happened. That happens sometimes too. You ever get off balance a little bit? You know, you're a little top heavy. Your weight shifts. You're not sure what's going on. Feel like there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
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 Well, anyway, I saw the rocket launch, spaceships taking off, and all I could say to myself was like, get away from this. Nobody cares about this. What is this, 1969?
So you didn't like the rocket launch?
We got riots on TV, man. There's cars burning in Seattle.
See, I don't think we need to watch all the riots and people burning.
I found myself not even interested in the rocket launch at that point.
I saw a lot of people saying the rocket launch was cool. Cam, did you watch the rocket launch?
I did. I saw a little bit of it.
Did you think it was cool?
It was all right.
I think our generation doesn't think rockets are cool. We grew up, you know, going to space our whole life, so maybe that's it.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, yay, another thing going upward really fast. Yay.
Would it have been cooler?
You're just going to say the rocket launch sucked too.
I thought it was cool, though, because I have a friend that works for SpaceX, so I was like, that's what's up. Like, good for you, man. Like, congratulations to your company. Like, y'all are doing big things. Because it is nice that this is like, I think the coolest part to me was that it was a private company doing it, other than like NASA.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the technology that just somebody can just make a rocket and just blast off.
Would it have been more interesting to you if it didn't work?
Unfortunately, probably.
You guys. Well,
you saw what happened in the test run.
Well, yeah, that rocket exploded. That was cool. But, no, I'm glad it worked out.
I'm tired of you guys rooting for bad things. You both need to start rooting for good things. I haven't forgotten.
Have you forgotten?
The answer is no. I have not. How you guys were acting in late February, early March.
I'm still acting like that. It's been a
long time. That's been a long time.
And I just want you to know, I have not forgotten.
A lot of things have changed since February.
And I have not forgotten.
Well, Daryl Worley would be proud. Isn't that who sang that song? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The one about Bin Laden?
Yeah.
Have you forgot? I was at a NASCAR race at the Coke 600 in 2011, and he performed that song there live.
Speaking of NASCAR.
Talk about an energy in the stands.
Cam didn't pick the winner yesterday, but his second place pick won.
I heard.
It was between my top two guys, too.
You're getting back in your groove. Yep. I mean, we had taken the segment off radio, and then you started doing good. We gave you an extra couple days to get your picks ready, to focus, mm-hmm. and go up until right before the race, and you've been doing good. So maybe we'll bring it back to radio. I don't know. Yep. But three of the last five races, your winner or second place has won. Two winners and one second place, right? Yep. Yep. Yesterday, you had to pick the winner two of the last 4 weeks, but then yesterday, your second place guy won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good week.
Guy might not always pick the winner, but he knows who's running up front.
Yeah, I'll give you the top few guys. I think I'd be pretty elite as like a DraftKings kind of thing, where you just like have to pick a roster.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I was proud of you. Where did DiBiento?
He got knocked out, too. There was a lot of crashes went down in that race, and it knocked out a bunch of guys. So that happened to two of my top five guys.
Well, I was nervous about it because, you know, last year I remember we went to Bristol, and I was with you, so I rode your stupid picks that day, and then, like, everyone just kept wrecking, and, like, all the guys you had picked
Bristol's got out. Hard.
Right, so I was like, that's going to be a waste of time. But then I was driving yesterday whenever you made the picks right before the race, so I bet on your first, second, and then your long shot, DiBiento. So you were able to make me a little money yesterday, so I appreciate you.
You'd love to see it. I saw a few people cashed in on that, so I was happy for them. So,
good job. So when's the next race? Wednesday?
Yes, I think I can't remember where they're going.
It's fine. You got time to figure it out. But that was one of the big sports things of the weekend. UFC was back on Saturday. Watch that. I got a new favorite fighter, I think.
Ooh, which one?
Burns,
Gilbert. Okay.
Yeah.
Gilbert Burns.
I'm a little worried that his name's Gilbert.
Yeah, that guy's not gonna pan out.
But he's kind of a beast. And I like his personality, and he fought in the main event, and he dissected Woodley. He dominated him.
Is he the first beast named Gilbert?
I think so.
Wasn't there a movie or a book? Was it Gilbert Grape?
Yeah. That guy wasn't a beast.
What was Gilbert Grape? I don't even know what he was like.
Wasn't that somebody that wasn't?
What's wasn't eating that kid, Gilbert Grape?
Wasn't that kid mentally handicapped, or am I making that up?
I don't know, but he probably wouldn't have fared well in the UFC.
Maybe I'm making a mistake there. I always just see the Leo's picture on Netflix.
Yeah. 1993 American drama. Johnny Depp, Juliette Lewis. Pretty classic movie, I think.
It says it's a small town young man with a lot of responsibility. Chief among his concerns are his mother, who is so overweight, but she can't leave the house.
Mm.
And his mentally impaired younger brother.
Okay, so
who is Leo.
Okay.
Yeah. Arnie.
Who has a knack for finding trouble.
Okay.
So he's got a mom that can't leave the house and a impaired younger brother needs to take care of him.
His mom is so elite, fat. Gilbert.
He's got responsibility.
He's got a lot on his shoulders, but I can't call him elite. I mean, I know it's a book first, but like, we've dissected my feelings on Johnny Depp, so I can't give Johnny the pass there and call him elite. But yeah, no, Gilbert Burns is a beast. I finally broke my streak. I guess the key here in UFC is to always bet on the underdog in the main event, because the last three events, the underdog has not only won the main event, but dominated the main event.
Darlene Cates was cast as the actress that played his mom in that movie. She's just a very, very large woman. And I kind of feel bad, like, if that was the role they wanted you to play, you're going to be a bedridden, just fatty who can't leave the house. I don't think I'd take that role.
You'd like the check.
Gilbert Arenas. That's a big time, Gilbert.
Darlene Cates.
I used to love Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, Gilbert Arenas.
That was my guy.
So that's a shooter right there.
He is always locked and loaded, ready to go.
Gilbert always Arenas. Prepared.
Yeah. Turns out, though, when we found out what we found out about Javaris Crittenden, I feel like it was pretty smart of him to stay locked and loaded, because Javaris Crittenden killed somebody.
Yeah, Gilbert wasn't going out like that, so.
All right, we're off and running. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll get into some college football stuff, some Tennessee news. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an...
Want to welcome new sponsor Craft Axe Throwing on board here at Fan Run Radio. For our listeners, they're offering 15% off your booking if you use the promo code FANRUN at checkout. That's one word, FANRUN. We know everyone has some aggression they need to release. Although that sounded better last week whenever we got that ready. Now the pent-up aggression.
It was that guy with the machete out in the street.
Yeah, that feels a little bit different now. But axes and beer. What better way to spend an evening with your friends? You can go make it a competition. I've done it before. It's a lot of fun. They got TVs whenever sports do come back. They got beer. They got seltzers. And they're giving you 15% off your booking when you use the promo code FANRUN at checkout. Plan your visit today, craftaxethrowing.com. It's over on 5th Avenue, just minutes away from downtown Knoxville. Support the people who support us. Cody, we had some Tennessee news. Yeah. Which one do you want first? The recruiting news or the team in trouble news?
Team in trouble news?
Well, Tim Jordan, running back Tim Jordan, was arrested Saturday in Florida on felony charge of carrying a concealed weapon and two misdemeanor drug charges. He was released Saturday on $2,000 bond.
Yes, I read that over the weekend.
The weapon charge, I mean, you know, he's facing a third-degree felony. Usually these things don't end up that way. Usually you can get stuff down and dismissed and whatever you need to do. But as of right now, he is facing a third-degree felony for not having a permit to carry a concealed weapon and misdemeanor charges for possession and use of narcotic paraphernalia and cannabis possession, not more than 20 grams. So he had some weed on him.
Just a little weed.
Not more than 20 grams, though, could be a good amount.
19 and a half grams.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of weed.
Yeah.
So the gun thing.
It's quite a bit of weed, but not. The key is it's not enough to, like, you know, make it look like he was out selling.
Right.
Or, you know, transporting a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a lot for personal use. I mean, if he has 10 or 15 grams of weed with him, I mean, I know that's a lot to smoke at one time, but that's not a lot.
It's still quite a bit of weed to have on you.
Yeah, if he didn't have a scale. Yeah, if he had, like, a scale, they would have got him a tent to sale.
That would have got him in trouble.
Right, but, I mean, for someone to have just, you know, and it could just be 3 or 4 grams. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
You guys are looking at the high end.
No more than 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, I'm just saying the weed stuff isn't a huge deal, and you know, across the country, we have kind of all come together and said that that's not a huge deal, but not in Florida yet, at least. So, right now, Tim Jordan is facing charges over it right now.
Most of the country's okay with the grass. I guess the weapon would be the thing that stands out from the story.
Yeah, the Knoxville News Sentinel reported that Tim Jordan was arrested shortly before 5 a.m. He was stopped after Lakeland police spotted him speeding and swerving into the bicycle lane. A 17-year-old male passenger was in his car and was also arrested. Jordan told police he had a loaded Ruger LCP pistol in his back pocket. After searching his vehicle, they found 9.25 grams of marijuana, a scale, and several plastic bags. So he did find the scale.
Okay, but 2.5, he doesn't have enough to intent to sell.
No, 9.2.
Oh, 9.2.
And they did find a scale?
Yeah, and several plastic bags.
That could be bad. Yeah, that could be bad. That's intent to sell.
Well, I thought they would already charge him for that then.
It's.
Can they go up on charges after that happens? Because, if you think if you have several baggies and a scale, you would think that you are taking the 9.25 grams and going to weigh them out to sell to people.
Yeah, seems like you might be distributing them.
It would be weird to have several plastic bags.
Maybe you want to weigh your own amount for each day. You know.
Again, the several plastic bags would be the.
Yeah, you do it like the medicine. You know, the Monday through Sunday.
Yeah.
The pill bottles. Maybe he's doing it like that. You just want to have a little baggie for each day.
Tennessee, a lot of people said, is back now, as they have surged in the Fulmer Cup standings. What do we expect from Tim Jordan here? Anything?
I mean, I would hope he's, still on the team and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, do one of those internal discipline kind of things, you know?
Okay.
Stadium steps or whatever they do.
Just some discipline, not a dismissal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you ask him about the gun, and what's the deal with the gun. And I guess that could be a little bit more concerning. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if they go with the intent to sell stuff, which, again, it's not the charge right now, I would imagine that'd be a little concerning, too, just from an optic standpoint.
Yeah, you probably need to take care of that by saying, hey, man, don't sell weed. Here's a bag of cash, But is Tim Jordan high enough up on the
I mean, people get dismissed for weapon charges. I mean, this is, I mean, like, that's a... just recently, was it Dante Starks, I guess, from LSU was just dismissed? Was Isaiah Crowell, was he dismissed for gun charges, I think, too?
He did.
I mean, it has happened before. Like, when you've had people get pulled over with guns and drugs, like, that is sometimes cause for dismissal. Now, I would like to see in these other instances if there had been other run-ins with these people, if they were on strike two or so, like... Tim Jordan hasn't found himself in any trouble here that we know of since getting here. So maybe the first one is a warning. But, across the country, across the SEC, we have seen people get dismissed because of this.
I remember the Alabama lineman a couple years ago. He had the gun down in Louisiana. Mm. You remember that? The offensive tackle. He was like a top draft pick. I can't remember the guy's name. It wasn't Quanjo, was it?
I don't remember the story.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
Was the gun charge what was the third degree felony?
Yes.
Okay, because apparently intent to sell is also a third degree felony in Florida.
Well, they're charging him with misdemeanor, so at least that's what the ESPN news story had. Okay,
you got to look in that because under 20 grams is like misdemeanor, but intent to sell ups it to a third degree felony. So
okay,
nah, it was Cam Robinson. Mm. He had possession and the illegal possession of a gun. So it was kind of the same exact thing. But obviously he didn't get dismissed.
And like I said, Dante Starks was a LSU freshman. He is the most recent one. He got kicked off, in the middle of May for... They just went ahead and dismissed him. They had suspended him during the season and just went ahead and dismissed him. So we'll see what happens with Tim Jordan. I mean, I haven't seen any statements from Jimmy Pruitt. Probably the last thing he wants to deal with right now. In terms of news dumps, I mean, this didn't make a lot of headlines. I mean, it's a story out there, but, it just...
Got a post on CBS.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there because people need sports news, but I'm saying, like, not a lot of people paid attention to it, you know what I mean, just because the world is dealing with bigger things right now.
Which, if you got to have negative news as a program, that's probably the best time for it to come about.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah, the you know, we'll see what happens with Tim Jordan. Tennessee needs some running back depth, I feel like. Tim Jordan is someone who, you know, has shown that he can play at this level.
Yeah, I mean,
he's worthy of being on Tennessee's team.
He's an adequate rotation back.
Right. I don't think I want him to be my starter or even my second guy, maybe. But, I mean, he has come in and he has shown he can play a little bit. Probably had a better 2018 than he did at 2019, at least in terms of production. You know, he lost some carries to Eric Gray, and I would imagine everyone's going to lose more carries to Eric Gray. But if you just look at the last two regular seasons, last two games of the regular season, I mean, Tim Jordan got the ball a lot. He had 14 carries against Missouri, had 74 yards, and 11 carries against Vanderbilt, only 40 yards. Then the ball game, only 2 carries. But I mean, like I said, Eric Gray just had it going there, and it was a weird game because Tennessee didn't do much in that second and third quarter offensively. It was a weird offensive performance. But yeah, like I said, this is a guy who has, you know, got 104 carries last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy you want to have on your team. He's a good rotation back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just I hope he's able to come back, you know.
We'll see what happens. You also had I have found it very interesting, the Jeremy Banks Redemption Tour. You saw a story go viral over the weekend of him
stopping
to help someone's car who had broken down.
Yeah, yeah, he's trying to get back on the team. I think.
It seems as if he is doing everything he can.
And we need a linebacker. You know, we need depth at linebacker.
Kind of need a running back maybe if Tim Jordan's going too.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about him, we know he can do both. Fumbles a little bit.
We know he can do both, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. But he's a good depth guy.
One of those things he can't do, like, he can't do either one great. I don't know if he can do either one good, but he can do both of them.
Yeah. Has he gone all the way over to the All Lives Matter side? Has he completely overcorrected? Because he went from fighting cops to – didn't he post an All Lives Matter kind of thing?
He wants back on the team. But, yes, he has tried to redo his image. He has tried to repair his image from – threatening cops to now saying he sees the bigger picture and that everyone is equal and all these things. So, I mean, it could have gone one of two ways when someone like Jeremy Banks gets in trouble and you see the footage and you see that the statements coming out of him, then he gets kicked off a team. It could have gone one of two ways, and I'll say credit to Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt for not throwing him away. And for trying to kind of, you know, whatever's happening is happening privately in terms of what they're telling him and his chances of getting back on the team, because they haven't really talked about it out in the open. I mean, it's kind of a poorly kept secret that he can work his way back on there.
Yeah, you can tell they care about his future, you know.
And, you know, whether or not he ever plays another down for Tennessee, I would say credit to Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt and Jeremy Banks for at least trying to stay on a path and to try to correct a ugly situation.
Well, right? I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Everyone makes mistakes, and I don't know what will happen if Jeremy Banks is reinstated, right? Like, I don't think you'll see the national media come and say, well, look at all of his recent social media posts. Look at the change that he has tried to display over the last year. It will all be, this is the guy who had told the cops that they get shot where he's from.
Memphis.
Yeah, though he's not really from Memphis. He's from Cordova.
Oh, he's... yeah. I hate people that do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says Memphis.
No.
Jeez.
Is Cordova...
I've heard Cordova is just like a nice part of that
area.
Like, it's not like he's from Orange Mound or anything like that. Is what I just, you know, saw people saying.
Yeah, Cordova's pretty far over on the east side.
So you won't have, like, the national media picking up the redemption stories. At least you won't have most of them. You will just have, oh, wow, Jeremy Pruitt has reinstated the guy who had threatened to shoot cops. That'll be the headline. But either way, I will say credit to Tennessee and everyone involved for not throwing this guy out. For not just severing ties. And again, like I said, whether or not he ever plays another down for Tennessee, either way, they have tried to keep him on a certain path. We had an unfortunate situation over the weekend with Tennessee. Talk about that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
David.
Brother Bellis in the back. Sweet singers. Bizarre story over the weekend as Tennessee picked up a commitment and then, just never kind of acknowledged it. And then he deleted his commitment as. In state, down in Cleveland, Bradley County. 3-star wide receiver Trey Curry, a 4-star on ESPN, I believe, committed to Tennessee, posted out a big graphic, a big message about almost giving up until, almost giving up, but he's glad he didn't because this moment is so sweet. And, tweeted it out, and you didn't get the usual booms and to the top and on a mission tweets that you usually do when other players commit, just it was kind of crickets. And then you had the report, I believe, from Ryan Callahan from 247 saying that Tennessee just wasn't ready to accept his commitment yet. So he had to delete his announcement.
That's too bad.
That's rough.
That's too bad.
That's rough.
Sucks for him, but I guess we're at that point now.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with Tennessee in recruiting right now. They are full.
That would suck though to think you're committing somewhere, and think everything's good to go and tweet it out and say here I am and then you have to redact it.
You probably expect you just get all the calls and texts, your phone's blowing up, you're expecting fanfare, like this is a big time moment, and then you have to take it down and have some egg on your face. And I do wonder if I don't know what I would do if I was a prospect and that happened to me, but I would almost feel like, okay, well, I'm just finding a different school.
I think at that point you probably would, yeah.
I think that's how I would be. Fair or foul, I don't know. Like, maybe this is all on his fault. Like, I don't know how recruiting works. Like, I don't know if you have to give the coaches a heads up, like, hey, I'm getting ready to make my announcement.
I would think you would maybe do that, but I think that we would check – Maybe do some research on it first on how to do it. But, if you're him, you're just a high school kid and you're like, this is where I'm going. They offered me. Boom. Here I am.
Right.
You might be quicker to jump on something like
that. But you see those breakdowns all the time of, like, schools and how many scholarships they offer. And, it's in the 600s sometimes for the teams at the top. Offering 600-700 scholarships a cycle.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't take all 600 or 700 of those. So maybe they offered Trey Curry 2 months ago, before Tennessee's hot streak. And they've had that offer sitting there.
Now that he sees all that momentum, like, you would think he would check in first.
You would think. But, I mean, like, this isn't a bad prospect, I don't think, is the rub here. Like, I mean, he has offers. I mean, it's listed between him on his 247 profile, the two schools that have the, quote, warm interest. Usually that's how you can, see who's in the battle. Mm-hmm. It's Tennessee and Auburn. It says he has an offer from Georgia. Now, whether or not he has a committable offer from Georgia, I doubt. If he doesn't have one from Tennessee right now, I'm going to guess he doesn't have one from Georgia. But this is a 6'4", 210-pound kid with good leaping ability, and they say he's a good athlete down at, in an in-state school. Now, Tennessee doesn't go down to Chattanooga too often and pluck guys. I mean, they'll get one from Udawal every now and then. They tried to get Jay Hardy out of Chattanooga. That didn't go well.
Well, maybe Auburn has established their connections there, and he'll end up going to Auburn.
Maybe. Which, who knows if the Auburn offer is committable right now. Because, this is just a weird time whenever you've had almost double the amount of people coming to make their commitment early. You know what I mean? Like this, the COVID stuff has pushed up the timeline. The dead periods have pushed up the timeline, and people are trying to get on board.
I just feel bad for him. His friends are probably clowning him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope not. I hope not. There's certain things your friends can clown you for, but like...
You thought you were going to Tennessee. Yeah.
I feel like there's certain things your friends can clown you for, and like, I don't think this is one of them. Like, if it's something actually, like, sad, something that actually might bother you, I feel like you got to be supportive in this time.
I think your friends would definitely clown you for that. If you said you're going to this school and then turns out you couldn't actually commit, I feel like they'd be clowning you.
Maybe.
Oh, you thought you were going to Tennessee?
Yeah, maybe some
go over to Tech, maybe.
Nah, you got to be careful. You don't want to, like, you know, give up on this guy just yet because there's still chances he does go play somewhere big and you want some tickets and you want to still be able to go up and go to the kickbacks with him. But
yeah.
According to his timeline, Tennessee offered him December of 2018.
It was a long time ago. That might make it even worse. Maybe he feels like he's had such a long relationship with him, and he's so close with him. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and commit. Yeah.
Well, on his recruiting profile, it does list his two recruiters as, I mean, if you're on Tennessee staff and you're an offensive player, there's two guys that you probably, if Tennessee's sending both of these guys at you, you probably think that they really want you, and those are T. Martin and Brian Niedermeyer. Those are listed as his two recruiters, as primary and a secondary recruiter. So you would think they have the A-team going after him, that they want him. I don't know if this guy just had a bad junior season or what, because, I mean, like, you know, at the end of 2018, so I guess it was a year and a half ago at this point, I mean, picked up a Tennessee offer in December, picked up a Georgia offer in February, picked up an A&M offer in February, Louisville, South Carolina, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Nebraska, Memphis.
Got some good offers.
Like, those all happened before last season, though. So I wonder if, like, he just had a disappointing year and, like, hasn't progressed. Because, you know, when you pick up Tennessee, Georgia, A&M in a two-month period, you probably think you're getting ready to blow up, right?
Yeah, I mean, what happens? Like, do schools withdraw those offers?
I don't think they actually withdraw them. I think they just move them off the board, like, in... You're like, okay, like, we'll still have a relationship. But, I mean, Tennessee probably didn't think they would be in a position where they have one available spot right now. Yeah, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Are they not at 24 commitments right now? So, I mean, like, they're still recruiting a bunch of people. So, like, maybe they don't want to have to make an idea of – maybe it's worse to process in-state guys.
Yeah, well, if this guy had committed back in March, you know, like, if somehow he could have seen what was going to happen or committed when the momentum started flowing. You know, maybe he'd have a spot.
Yeah, see, I don't know. You know, you get through his football season this year. He was up here for an unofficial visit for the BYU game. Went to unofficially visit South Carolina. Came back to unofficially visit again for the South Carolina game. So they've had him on campus twice unofficially. He picked up an Auburn offer January 9th. Picked up an Ole Miss offer April 30th. So, I mean, a couple of schools have still gotten on board with him this last, you know, year, this last couple months. I mean, Ole Miss and Auburn. But again, Tennessee is in a situation where they're looking around and they just don't have a lot of spots. And like I said, is it worse to process an in-state guy to take a commitment from someone down the road and then have to be like, hey, man, sorry, better people are coming on board. We're not going to be able to take you. Is it better to do that?
Either in-state guy or places you have a really good relationship.
Sure.
You know?
Which, I mean, Tennessee's going to want to continue to recruit Chattanooga and North Georgia, like all the way down to Ringgold and Marietta. Like, down 75 for a good 3 hours, like, Tennessee needs to...
We get a lot of players out of that
Tennessee
area.
Needs to have strong ties down 75. Like, I mean, through, like I said, through Chattanooga, Cleveland, Georgia. Let's not burn bridges there. We need to have good ties there. So... Maybe they're just like, hey, like, we don't want to accept this because we probably aren't going to be able to honor it right now. Although, is it more embarrassing for him to have to delete it? Or I don't, like, in a perfect world, like, he never would have put out an announcement.
I mean, it would definitely be embarrassing if you're him.
Right. And then, like I said, in a perfect world, they probably wish he never would have put out any type of announcement. What would you do if you were him? Look elsewhere? Go to Auburn?
I'd probably be pretty mad. I'd probably have the friends in your ear, too. Like, oh, yeah, forget that school, man. Like, they don't deserve you anyways. And, yeah.
Is Auburn mad at him at this point for, like, oh, wow, you're going to pick Tennessee? We're your rebound plan? We don't want you here either.
They may fake that angle for a while, but if they really like the player, I think they'd still take him.
Yeah, so. I don't think they would look at it that way, because this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm curious to see what happens with this kid now. I didn't realize there was a kid down at Bradley this good. He was a 3-star, but he is, of the composite, he is, you know, the 400th ranked player. So, I mean, he's on radars. And like I said, has, whether or not they're committable or not, he has a pretty good offer list.
I think you probably still, like if you're Tennessee, you probably still keep him around close by, you know, if you can. I mean, who knows that the class is going to be just so good you can't take him. When you look at his offer list, I think I'd be cool with taking him, maybe processing out a couple of those other guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what will happen here. And like I said, Tennessee already has 24 people on board right now, so the spots are pretty much full, and you know, maybe the optics look even worse if you have a full 25 commit class, and then you're still taking commitments and still, like, you know, having people come on. Maybe like Tennessee's trying to at least keep one spot open in case a big dog wants to hop on immediately, and you don't have to make any tough bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you got to know how to manage it, I guess, when you get as many commitments as they did in that time frame.
Is this wrong? I mean, does it feel dirty to you?
Well, I mean, on one hand, because the guy's an in-state guy and he's just, you know, an hour and a half down the road, like, I don't know if you're Tennessee, I don't know if you're in a position to just push away a guy like that who has good offers.
Mm-hmm.
I would say take a commitment from him, or at least keep him close by. I wouldn't tell him to look elsewhere.
Well, I mean, you have told him to look elsewhere, whether or not you...
I think I'd take a commitment from him.
Whether or not you told him look elsewhere, like, you not honoring his commitment is yelling to him, hey, buddy, your position in this class isn't reserved.
Well, it seems that way. You know, I just, I don't know. I mean, Tennessee, they have their reasons.
Tennessee doesn't have the luxury of going with the Clemson model, right? I mean, because Clemson pretty much offers like 30 scholarships a year.
They turned away a 5-star last year, didn't they? Or like a really high,
four-star, I think. But Clemson doesn't do this, and like Tennessee doesn't have the luxury of just being selective. They don't have that yet. And maybe they'll never have that. Maybe they don't want that. Maybe they want to constantly be committing, and the class is going to be fluid at all times. At what point do we start seeing decommitments from Tennessee? This week? Next week? Is it? I mean, because like we all know they're coming. Like,
yeah.
You have 24 commitments right now, and you're recruiting 7-8 other guys. Like, this is going to happen, and the decommitments could be good processing commitments. It could be somebody else. Like, at what point does Tennessee see decommitments?
I was going to say, I'm not sure when, but I was going to say, I would assume it's a good sign. I would think it would be, you're telling people, hey, start looking elsewhere because we got some people that as you're really good about.
We'll wait and see who they are
sign. Yeah, you don't want it to be Terrence Lewis.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks.
But if it's like the lower-rated prospects we have and they start decommitting, it's definitely one of those, you would think or assume and hope that it's, you know, we got some good guys we feel really good about. So we're kind of nudging the other guys out the door.
Maybe it'll happen around the time they get ready to sign the other guy, or, you know, maybe some other guys start to say they're ready to commit. If you get like a couple of four or five star blue chip guys and say, hey, we're ready to commit, then maybe all of a sudden you see a couple of 3-stars disappear. Which I would be fine with. Either way, it looks like we're going to have a pretty good class this year.
Okay. Just checking. Just wondering.
I mean, I hope that we do a little processing and improving. You know, I hope we land a few more 4-stars, guys with big offers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that. But even if we just locked in the class today that we have, it's a good class. Even if it's the exact same way it is right now on signing day, we've landed a good class.
You're locking that in?
No, I'm not locking it in. I'm just saying if it were to happen. Like, at this point, everything's kind of icing, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I think it is. I mean, we got 9 4-stars and a 5-star already, and a lot of good 3-stars with offers.
So you're locking it in?
I don't want to say I'm locking it in, because I think
you're fine with locking it in?
Well, I think it can be improved. I just mean, like, in a typical year, I would not be disappointed with this class. And this is a top 10 class.
This is a top 10 class?
I think so. Like as it stands?
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Where's Tennessee at right now in points? They're at 259 points.
Yeah.
Last year, 259 would have put you, yeah, I guess right at number 11 or 12.
Okay, so friends top 10. I'm not saying I'd lock it in. I'm just saying, like, it, from this point forward, we're in a really good spot to just be able to kind of pick and choose. Kind of focus on some blue chip guys, maybe. Instead of trying to, you know, wrangle a class together. Okay. Which, where we've been, like, think about, like, Pruitt's first class. You know, we were going all the way up to signing day trying to figure out if we were going to get anybody.
Yeah, but we landed a pretty good, we did pretty good that first year.
Did we? I feel like we missed out on a lot in the first year.
Oh, 2018?
Yeah, okay. Which he hadn't even had
a full. I was talking 2019, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. He hadn't even had a full season.
I was talking 2019, but you're right. Yeah, we missed a lot on.
I'm just saying I'd rather be in a position now, you know, with this class we've got. And to me, it looks like maybe icing on the cake is not the right way to put it, but it looks to me like it's pretty set and you can kind of pick and choose, maybe process a guy here or there. Seems like you've put a lot of good work in.
I think Tennessee still has some work to do, personally.
Certain positions to fill or certain guys you think?
I think they got work to do keeping some of these guys, and I think they got work to do trying to grab a couple more big-time prospects because, you know, it's all about what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I assume that I know the answer to this question, but if Tennessee – if this class is pretty much done, you would acknowledge that they are not finishing ahead of Georgia, correct?
Right, yeah.
Probably going to be battling neck and neck with Florida at that point.
Right.
And just in terms of the East.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I hope that they don't go home and just sit on the couch until December.
Obviously.
On the terms of recruiting. You know, I'm just saying it's nice to have a leg up and be out in front. And be able to, because to me that means you can focus more on the big guy like Amarius Mims or somebody like that. You can put a lot of resources into him now.
Yeah, I think that's really slowed down the Mims stuff. I don't want to break your heart. I mean,
well, whoever.
I'm just saying, I know that's a guy you've been really wanting, but I think Tennessee's momentum with that has kind of it's kind of stopped.
Well, maybe you just go put a tent out on the street in front of his house.
I think you just really focus on Mondon now. Mondon, however the hell you say
Mondon.
Mondon.
I don't know.
Whoever.
Whoever.
The five-star linebacker.
You see what I'm saying, though? If you don't have to be out on the road all the time trying to sign all these different guys, you can focus more on them, use more resources on one guy,
mm-hmm.
maybe really show them how much you want them. Like I said, you could just camp out in front of their house for like a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It was unfortunate for Trey Curry. I don't know if it would be named Trey Curry, just watching Steph run around. It'd be kind of weird, right? Yeah, because, I mean, he was born, obviously, before.
Trey Young and Steph Curry combined, like.
Yeah, and Curry for Trey.
Kind of feel like you should be a.
Curry for three. You probably should play basketball, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like it'd be kind of weird.
Guess he missed his calling.
He might play basketball, too. I don't know.
With a name like that, you would hope so.
Okay. Did you think anything about Drew Tennessee's statement? We got a couple minutes here, I guess. Not really time for a commercial break. Tennessee's statement, they put out thoughts on the group uniform blanket statement.
Well, I mean, they said the things that a lot of people have been saying over the weekend.
I think the message was good. I'll admit, on Saturday, I was wondering when the statement was going to come out, especially when, you know, Kirby Smart put his out, just because you don't want to look at it through that lens, but I think it's important to have... I think it's important to have your coaches say something. Like, I thought it was a bad look. You know, Clemson had Trevor Lawrence speaking out before Dabo had made a statement.
Has Dabo said anything yet?
I still haven't seen Dabo say anything. Dabo was quick to talk about Colin Kaepernick, but hasn't been quick to talk about this. And I do think, like, you know, when you look at the demographics of a locker room, when you are a white head coach in charge of mentoring, and, you know, you always tell in recruiting, I imagine you tell the parents that you are going to be a father figure in their life, a mentor, things like that. Now's a time where you have a lot of people looking to you for leadership, and I do think you have to come out and make a statement. I do think that's necessary. And
headline from Sports Illustrated is "Silence is not golden. Where is Dabo Swinney?"
I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah, people want to know. Like, Dabo is one of the more vocal coaches.
Saban released a statement.
Dabo's always willing to talk about things. But he hasn't said anything yet. And you could say he doesn't have a responsibility to, and if that's how you feel, then you're entitled to that opinion. But like I said, I think when you look at the demographics of a locker room and you've made promises to people's parents that you are going to take care of their kid, I do think you have, you know, it's important for you to look like an ally.
Especially with a platform like that.
And again, especially when you have not been shy about speaking out. Put a microphone in front of Dabo and talk about players getting paid, Dabo has a lot to say.
Well, you got a locker room. There's what, 120 guys on a team?
Something like that.
Something like that. Say Clemson, 70% of those guys are black guys.
I would say that's probably accurate.
I mean, you're looking at, what, just call it 80 families that are affected by this, you know?
Yep.
And you are, like you said, you're the chief, the guy that runs the university, basically.
And again.
So I think you got to say something.
If you're a coach that hasn't made statements before, maybe you have a little bit less pressure. But again, Dabo has been someone who has been vocal. He spoke out against paying players and said he would quit football if players ever got paid. He said that, he talked about Kaepernick. He talked about having a sin problem. He talked about all these things. So he has been willing to be vocal about this.
Haven't heard anything from Mike Gundy. Yeah, he did. Yeah, did hear something.
I mean, like, there's been a lot of coaches that, I mean, like, it didn't happen right away. Like, I'll give Kirby Smart credit. He was one of the first to go out on Saturday and say something. And how do we feel about Tennessee doing the blanket statement? Is that
I would rather have seen Jeremy Pruitt say something himself, I think, because but you rarely see that from him, you know? He's one of those guys that doesn't say a lot.
Probably. He'll give a soundbite, though, when he's asked. Like, I mean, it's not the same thing, but he has talked about transfers and players' rights a little bit, like in terms of we got to do what's best for the players. Like he was a proponent of that. So I mean, he's spoken out a couple times.
I think we typically view him as a guy that's got his players' back, but I would like to hear that publicly. I would like to him actually come out and say something because he rarely does that. You know, I would like to see that as opposed to the blanket statement. Because when you issue a blanket statement, you're kind of. Here's generally what we all think, well, but it's not an individual.
Well,
word.
I mean, they signed their name to it, and like, you know, that's, I mean, you know, the blanket statement can't work, right? The Declaration of Independence was a blanket statement that had everyone's signatures on it, so I mean, that worked.
Okay, one of them particularly large.
If everyone is on, what a move by
Hancock!
Him. What a move by him.
I was really in on this.
Power move by him, but like, I'm saying, like, if you have a universal feeling inside the athletic department, I think it's okay to have a blanket statement. Like I said, I think Tennessee's was really good. I liked what they said. They did not hide under any, we got to do better. It's systematic, blah, blah, blah. They came out and flat out said, we have to do better. And if you like our black athletes, like them, accept, you know, like them when they're not just on the field for you, like them all the time.
Yeah, they said everything that needed to be said.
And I thought that was a powerful statement. And it was not hiding behind unfortunate times. It's not hiding behind, oh, we got to do better as a country. It's everyone's got to take care of each other. No, it was basically like, you like our black players when they're playing football. Please like our black players off the field. Please help them. Please stand with them, even when it's uncomfortable for you, because that's what it's going to take. And everyone's name's attached to that. And I thought it was powerful, and I thought it was really good. So I don't know how I feel whether or not I want to see Pruitt make a separate statement, because if that's how they feel, and I Pruitt has spoken in favor of players' rights, and you know, you can look at it and say that's not a race issue or whatever when it comes to saying you want your players to be able to transfer and do what's best for their career, but it's about looking out for the players and having their best interests at heart and not like what's going to cause you wins or losses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying that he necessarily has to release an individual statement. I'm just saying that if he did, it could only do good. You know, that I think that would be good to just attach your own thoughts on it.
Well, speaking of this whole conversation, just coming out not too long ago, coming across the timeline now from Grace Rainer, Clemson reporter for The Athletic. She tweets out that Dabo Swinney will address the media today at 3:30. Clemson announces. Okay. So I guess the word has got back to Dabo that his silence is deafening, and we'll see what Dabo comes up with at 3:30. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two next with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.